Now it came to pass, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples, that he departed from there to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said to him, to them, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me." So far in the Word, may that Word be in us a living stream of living water. Let's go once again before the throne of grace. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we have worshipped you in various ways and would now worship by hearing by the Word of God, the Word of God by the mouth of one of your servants. We have not come to be impressed by the gifts, the calling, talents of earthly men, but Lord, this is the means that you have chosen for the spreading of your kingdom, the building up of your church. And so we pray that even now, at this very moment, your Spirit will be active, helpful, a blessing to the one who speaks, to those who hear, that we may glorify and honor you for Jesus' sake. Amen. The biography of great Christians often does not reveal lives of uninterrupted joy. There is not just a constant thrill and excitement and high fives of the Christian life. Quite the opposite is true. Martin Luther, if you read his biography, there were many days, back to back, long periods of time sometimes, of despondency. Martin Luther would say, "I was beaten by waves of despair." John Bunyan, who we love as an author, who could tell a story that explains deep spiritual truths in such a wonderful way, had many conflicts. He wrote, "To question the being of God and the truth of his gospel is the worst temptation of all. Though God has visited my soul with a discovery of himself, yet I have been in my spirit filled with darkness to make me forget that comfort." This is a guy who every day, for 12 years, they came to his jail cell. They said, "John, if you just stop preaching, you can go home." And for 12 years, he said, "No thanks." Brothers and sisters, doubt is not a sin. It can shake your faith. It can rattle your wisdom. We very famously call him what? Thomas the Doubter. But the disciples doubted as well. If you read the scripture there carefully, you see that they all wondered. Sarah doubted. Zacharias doubted. And John the Baptist, Scripture says, "Among men there is no greater." He doubted. Do you ever have doubts? I would be very surprised if you said to me, "Oh, never." or never have any concerns or doubts. Doubts can be the door that opens right into the living room of faith. It can be the very thing that drives you to seek the answer. And if we do not let our doubts linger and overstay their visit, they come. We end up actually wiser. Doubts can become, yes, depression. That's what some of these great men would say. On the other side of that coin, you have Charles Spurgeon, who very many times was laid out of the ministry, in bed, for months at a time. And he would say those were the times that he drew the closest to the Lord. But if we don't let it become depression, we find that those doubts are actually something that drive us to closer walk with the Lord. Let's consider the reason for doubts, a question for doubt, and the cure for doubt. What is the reason? Well, here we have Jesus. When John had heard, verse 2, in prison about the works of Christ. Who is John the Baptist? Well, verse 11 is that verse. Among those born of women, there has not risen one greater, you might say, to the world. Fill in that blank. Who would they say? Alexander the Great? Or what? Jesus says John the Baptist. There is a link. He is the link between the Old Testament and the New. He is the one that comes and says, "Behold, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He is, Isaiah 40, verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, "Prepare the way of the Lord." He is the last prophet of the Messiah. 4,000 years the promise of God had stood. 4,000. Just saying it, we can't comprehend it. And yet, here's that promise. The seed of the woman, he says to Adam and Eve. The seed of the woman is the Messiah, the Redeemer, Christ. What happened to many of the prophets happened to John. Luke 11:49. God will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they will kill, persecute. Herod put John in prison because he publicly, he used YouTube and chat box and all the other, he put a public statement out there. This guy Herod is a sinner. He's married to a woman. It was against the law for him to marry. So he threw John in jail. There he sat. John the Baptist. There was a man sent from God. He preached the coming of the Messiah. And he said those famous words, John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." He was a bold preacher, a prophet. John the Baptist. He had seen the Christ that he preached. Come, here's a man who talked about that history, that 4,000 years of history. And one day, here came Christ. Now he sits in prison. Now, we know what is coming. It's not quite here yet in the history of the gospel. But some doubts arise in his mind. Now, Some commentaries say doubts were those of John's disciples and not John. But what does verse 4 say? Go and tell John. The Lord doesn't say, go and tell his disciples they're wrong. He says, go and tell John. I remind you that some of the great men of the faith have been in prison. Paul, in the book of Acts, we're moving through that book as well. It'll take us a while to get to Acts 16, but he ends up in jail at midnight. One of the most dramatic moments in the life of Paul. 12 years of Bunyan in prison. Luther, holed up in a castle in Wittenberg because they're after him. Yes, doubts can arise. I would say to you, brothers and sisters, how long has it been? It's been 2,000 years since Christ came. It's almost impossible for us to conceive of 2,000 years ago. Even if we are historians. But he came. He lived. He died. He rose again. And we might wonder, after 2,000 years, how long, O Lord? Just like physical affliction is not easy to bear, it can be endured. Sometimes it can be endured with a great attitude. We know people who do that. And so we need to hear every now and then that encouragement from Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. In other words, it's possible to lose heart. You might be in a prison of doubt. Even though you are somebody who has known the true power and presence of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. In some people, the coming season of the next 6 or 7 or 8 weeks produces the blues. Who knows why? Let's not be too hard on them or on ourselves, because sometimes those seasonal things produce doubt. There's reason. We're humans. We don't see the providence of God as clearly as we ought to. There's reason. But what is the question that John asks? Not, why don't you take these things away from me? Why do I feel this way? Is there a drug that will help me? By the way, there are. Ask the chemist in our midst. There are all kinds of drugs that will help you. But that's not what the text says. What do we have? Verse 3, John said, are you the coming one? Or do we look for another? What did John do with his doubts? He didn't throw in the towel and give up. John didn't resign himself to helpless hopelessness. He wasn't in constant doubt. He had some. But John was going to make an effort to put a rest to his doubts. Apparently, from all the extra-biblical sources and also hints that are there, John could apparently have visitors. Jesus says to them, go tell John. He wasn't in maximum security, isolation. He could receive visitors. Go tell him. John has had access to his own disciples, and he says, go ask Jesus these questions for me. I can't do it, but you go do it for me. And where does he send them? Well, he sends them to always the best source. Go talk to Jesus. How did Paul the Apostle endure all the things that he went through? Number one, Jesus had told Paul what was coming. You're going to suffer much. And Paul said, okay. I mean, really, that's really what Paul said. Christ's own servants may be perplexed about the work of the Lord and God's timing. I know I am. Sometimes. I know I am. Even right now. I think that's a dangerous thing. Jesus ought to just come back already and get it over with. Don't you sometimes? Don't you say that? Even so, come Lord Jesus. Wouldn't it be nice to have a new heaven and a new earth? Yes, it would. But apparently, that's not what God thinks. So, what do I do with my doubts? What do I do when I have questions about why I feel the way I feel? About the way things are going in life? Well, I would do the same thing that John does. Go to Jesus. Answer this question. Is Jesus the Christ? You call yourselves Christians because you believe that. He's the one that was promised to Adam and Eve. He's the one that Isaiah was talking about. He's the one that John was preaching about. Is Jesus Christ the seed of the woman? Is he the promised Messiah? Is he the Savior of sin? Or do we look for another? That's what John says. Not even sure why I scribbled that in there, but I have scribbled in my notes Trinity Hymnal 196, and it says, read it. I don't think I'm going to read the whole thing. Oh, come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. He's come to set us free from our sins, our fears. He's Israel's strength and consolation. What a great hymn we sing. Desire of every nation. Joy to those who long to see the day spring from on high appear. They were looking for him. And he finally came. Do you believe that? Well, if you believe that, that's where you take your doubts. To the truth of those fulfillments of who Christ is. Please note that Christ and Christianity are not afraid of your doubts. Not afraid of your examinations. Not afraid of your inquiry. We're not afraid of your questions. How can there be predestination and election and a choice? How can that be? I can't fully explain it, but that's what the Bible says. Are there to be some debates? Well, yes, we welcome them. Good, solid Christians have debates. Mike Ranahan and I had a couple of little debates
about baptism. I'm not afraid of those things.
Brothers and sisters, there's a part here where John owns his doubt. Be sure that your doubt is not caused by something else. I mean, if there's a physical stress, the body can cause all kinds of mental things. When you're in pain, your mind will do very strange things. So you might need rest, exercise. Oh, there's that terrible word that some of you hate. Diet. You might need those things. But if you are in prison, if you're being persecuted, though the trials of affliction are lingering on, all those things may cause some doubts. Take those doubts to Jesus. He's not going to shame you. He's not going to chat. He doesn't say, go back and say to John, what is your problem? Really? He doesn't do anything like that. He will answer you. What's the cure for doubt? Verses 4 and 5. Go tell John the things which you hear and see. He doesn't deride John for the thought. You're not less of a Christian because you wonder. Nearly all doubts about Christ and the Christian truth ought to be brought to one person alone, Christ Himself. And given to Christ for an answer. Jesus says, isn't this what He's saying? Look at me and what I've done. The miracles speak volumes. Is that what He says? The blind see. The lame walk. Lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And He basically says, here are my credentials. Here are the things that I've done publicly that have been witnessed by many. Do you believe it? See, in the Lord's wisdom, He has not seen fit, in spite of the few errors as well, of these faith healers that have happened in the history of the church. It has not been the Lord's will that these kind of miracles continue over and over and over. And while there may be certain examples here and there, you don't have anybody walking around who's healing the blind, taking away deafness. The prophets said that Messiah would do these things. And Jesus is reminding John, who was a preacher of the Old Testament, what the Bible said about Messiah, that He would do these things. The life of Christ, His work in the world, is proof of who Jesus is. The question is, do you take that testimony? The historical evidence is enough. The testimony is credible. What are you going to do with Jesus? You can't deny that Jesus lived. He's as historically accurate as George Washington. By the way, as you know, George Washington said, I cannot tell a lie. Do you know what? That's really not been proven that he ever said such a thing. But the record of what Jesus did survives. And it survives inquiry, inspection, inquisition. It stands up to the test of time. It's not diminished. The gospel of Jesus Christ is in fact increased. We're seeing that in the book of Acts. They tried to arrest the early disciples. They scattered
The apostles, and the preachers went everywhere preaching. That's all part of the plan.
He says, remind John, tell John, the poor have the gospel preached to them. This fulfills Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has appointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. Jesus is the good news, His salvation, in Christ alone, my faith is found. This is what John himself had been preaching. Matthew 3, verse 11. He who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. Jesus greatly answers, gently, John's doubts, and he does so with the gospel. That's our message today. It hasn't changed. Jesus is the Christ of the Old Testament. Jesus is the Savior of sinners. For everyone, everyone who believes in Him. Jesus is the Son of God, come in the flesh, just like us. He looked like any other man. He was here on earth. And while He was here, He did amazing things. Said some amazing things. The question is, what will you do with this gospel? Will you reject Christ's miracles as just being, what, fantasy? The religious leaders of our day did just that. They said, we're not going to buy it. They said He did those things by what? The power of the devil, Matthew 12. They said that He was a sinner because He spent time with sinners. Well, doesn't that make you and I sinners? Because we're all together, and last I checked, we were all sinners. What is the cure for doubt? The cure for doubt is the life and work and death and resurrection of Jesus. Look at it. Think about it. Talk about it. And if you are ever in the throes of doubt, brothers and sisters, the gospel is the answer that you need to hear again. The coming one. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. The world was offended by the gospel. They rejected their very own. They rejected the very Messiah they were looking for. It's stunning. But they were offended also by the simple, plain message of Christ crucified in the place of sinners. You know, most of the world doesn't like that gospel. They want something else. They want self-esteem. They want works righteousness. They want to pay for their sins with indulgences and who knows what. They want a demonstration of power. You know that people say, well, I don't know about that demonstration of power thing. I've heard on several occasions in my life, people say something like, well, if God would just send us home, He has! You don't want to see it! When Jesus Christ gave a demonstration, they recoiled. They were angered. They dismissed it by saying, oh, that's the devil's work. The suffering Savior, on the cross was not what the world wanted. The world, even the religious world of the Jews, they wanted a victorious, triumphant
king to rule over Caesar. Take away the oppression.
Today's arguments are really pretty much the same kind of thing. You know what people say today? Why does God allow evil? I don't believe in God because there's evil in the world. Why did Christ come when Christ came? Why didn't he come now? Wouldn't it have been easier for him to have Facebook? Why is there division in the church? Why do Baptists and non-Baptists, why can't they agree? Why can't we all sing the same songs? Well, see division? Start talking about music in a church. You know what? Those are all excuses to ignore the presence of Christ. Brothers and sisters, here's the gospel. Seven or eight words. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. He makes simple but powerful statement. Blessed is he who is not offended because of me. The coming one is Jesus Christ. He came. How is it that some are not offended? Well, it's because the grace of God is given to them as a gift. You realize your faith is not of yourself. Your faith was given to you. Faith is not about your situation, but about your heart. Brothers and sisters, you can have peace with God while you are in jail. Now, I've never experienced that. Maybe you never have as well. I've known a few people who have experienced it. Jonathan and Margaret Falk, who stayed with us several years ago for a summer. They got arrested in Eritrea. They went to a prison. They wondered whether they were going to be released or not. I've never experienced that. But thousands of Christians can tell you the testimony that under severe persecution, their faith sustained them. You can find answers to your doubts even while you're enduring great persecution and suffering and affliction if your eyes are on the coming one. If you are hit with waves of despair and filled with darkness in whatever situation you're dealing with, go to Jesus. Blessed are those who are not offended because of me. He will answer you. What did Jesus say in John 12? I have come as light into the world, and whoever believes in me should not walk in darkness. Here's the cure for your doubts. The light of the world. The one who came. The one who sheds light on the path ahead. Don't be overwhelmed by your doubts. Bring your doubts to the only one who has the greatest wisdom in the world. That's Jesus and his word. He is the coming one. He is the one who came. And by the way, he's the one who's coming again. Praise God. Let's pray. Almighty Father, we come before you recognizing that sometimes in our thinking, we think ourselves right into the despair of doubts. Oh Lord, may we remember that you have given us an answer. The creation speaks, your word speaks, your spirit speaks. O Lord, make us attentive. Give us a heart ready to hear, ears ready to listen, eyes ready to see the glorious answer. Jesus is the answer for the world today. There's no other, none above Him. He alone is the way to God. Father, thank You for bringing us to Yourself through Him. Help us to be the instruments of helping others to get to know Jesus. Hear us for His sake. Amen.